It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. To my brothers and sisters, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, give us hearts that are open to hear you. Father, I pray for Keith as he comes to speak, Lord. Give him your words to speak. And help us to act on what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Holy Spirit, life changer, is our subject this morning. Now, some of you may have been aware over this last little while about how the BBC News has been showing the things that have been happening in prison. And in particular, it was very noticeable, those drones that they flew in to provide the prisoners with spice, which is a new form of legal high, or it's no longer legal, a new drug that they is causing havoc in some of the prisons. And there have been many things, riots and things getting out of control, things which really shock you when you think about that in the life of a prison, where people are supposed to be subject to great control and so on. And as you may know, our youngest daughter, Caris, works sometimes in Pentonville Prison. So when all this came on, I said to Caris, how on earth can Christian prisoners, prisoners who've given themselves to Christ, how can they maintain their witness when all this is happening all around them? And she said that there are helps that she can have, things that they can do to support those prisoners. Just hold that thought for a moment, because it's not just for prisoners, is it? I want us to think this morning about living for Christ in a world which is full of many of these issues. And in fact, many of the lists of things that you read in the acts of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh in what we just read, just like today's newspaper headlines, we're surrounded by a world where these things do happen. Not all the time in our experience, but they do happen. Now, if you look at that list up there, I've translated the original words in new ways, words which match with today's life. And if you think about some of those acts of the flesh and put them into today's language, you see how they match with tabloid headlines, sleeping around and corruption, all in our life of politics today, the shamelessness of people, the celebrity culture. Very interesting that the word which is translated witchcraft in the list there is actually the word pharmacopoeia, drug taking, which of course was their experience in those days. And that's just the same today. And when we look at the letter that we're looking at this morning and the words that Paul writes, you think to yourself, how on earth can this match up with our lives today? But actually, of course, life hasn't changed that much. And Paul wrote to these people in Galatia all those years ago. It was only about 15 years after Jesus died that this letter was written. Only a few years into the new church, and Paul had travelled across the Mediterranean to Turkey, modern Turkey, what was then called Galatia. And then sometime afterwards, how devastated he must have felt when this little group of Christians who had grown up there in Galatia, he hears that they're being corrupted by people who are coming in. And what these people who were coming in were saying to them was, look at this evil world around you. Look what life is like. You've got to shut yourselves off. You've got to live according to the rules. Don't have anything to do with all those people around you. Keep yourselves pure. It's a bit like, well, do you know that Ken Barrett's coming back to Britain next month? And I can imagine that little church that we visited in Alcalá just that little while ago, Ken coming back to Britain and hearing that back in Alcalá they're being corrupted, or perhaps they're being persuaded to be Jehovah's Witnesses or something. How he would feel. Well, that's how Paul feels when he's writing this letter about this little group of Galatians and what they were going through just so soon after they had become Christians. So you see, the answer to living in an evil world isn't to live a life apart, says Paul. He's bringing them a message to bring them two things in particular, faith and freedom. And that surely is what we need to hear today as we look at all these subjects, as we try to understand how to live in a world where it's like this. Now, I'm not saying all the time that this is going to be your experience here in Chard, but you have to be aware that these things are happening around you. We do get influenced by people in a very particular way as we go through. The other day, Jill and I were travelling back from Exeter to Axminster on the train, and I was absolutely horrified to hear a group of teenagers just across the gangway in the train talking about explicitly sending what they call sexting, pictures and words about explicit sexual images to each other there in front of me on the train. That's what was happening there in my front of my eyes. And you think about the statistics, like how I read this week that in the States, 40% of Christian men look at porn regularly. Can you think about that kind of thing, which does happen? Not all the time, it's not every day, but it's there as factors in our society. And I wondered how we are feeling about living in a world like this, a world where these things have always surrounded us. How can we as Christians, are we going to just be like the frog? Do you know the story of the frog who was sitting there in nice cool water and didn't realise the water was heating up and of course eventually got boiled and didn't jump out? Whereas if, of course, you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out straight away. And we're like that in a way. We're like that in the world around us. If we don't notice what the world is like, if we just tend to choose to close our eyes about what's happening, then we won't be able to live in this world. We'll be corrupted by it. So that's the setting. That's the thought. That's where we're starting. And I want us to think this morning about what we're doing to live in this way. And Paul tells these people in Galatia something which we can also learn, and that's about faith and freedom. And this is what I want to really emphasize this morning as we come to think about the works, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. How do we live in this world? How can we do this? And Paul writes this to them: in Christ Jesus, you who are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. You're children of God through faith. And that's the relationship. It's not something we have to work up. It's not something we have to earn. It's just something that God gives us. We can just relate to God because he allows us to do so as we respond to him in faith. That's the first thing to hold on to. But what does it do for us? And Paul goes on to tell them in chapter 5, as we're coming to these verses about the fruit of the Spirit, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Recognize what the world is doing to you. It's always wanting to enslave you, but you can be free as followers of Christ. You, my brothers and sisters, he writes, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Instead of giving in, you can choose to be different. And Paul is going to tell you how that can be done. So we face exactly the same problems here in 2016 as they faced then in Galatia in 35-40 AD. And what we need are these two things, faith and freedom. Faith in Christ, which means accepting his salvation, choosing a new way of life, living a life of love, that kind of difference that it makes for us as Christians to live with him. And then the freedom he gives us, freedom from living by rules. We don't have to go close ourselves off. We don't have to just be narrow and refuse to look at the world around us. But freedom too from being brainwashed by the world, the culture around us, the media. We're bombarded by images. We're bombarded by thoughts and all sorts of things around us. Are we going to be influenced by them, or are we going to have freedom from them? And freedom from feeling guilty when things go wrong, because sometimes they do. And instead of being condemned, we can have in Christ a freedom, a forgiveness, a new start each time. And freedom even from pleasing ourselves when the temptations come and you want to give in, because those times do come too. Sounds great, doesn't it? Paul tells us we can be new people, able to live new lives and survive in a world full of problems. It's great. It says it all here, doesn't it? But how? How can it happen? It's easy enough to read these words and say, oh, yes, that's lovely. But we've got to put it in practice. We've got to have the rubber hitting the road. We've got to have our feet on the ground in these things. We've got to know what it means tomorrow morning when something comes. And that's what the Holy Spirit's help is all about. And now we eventually get to the whole idea of what this passage and this series is actually about. What is the help of the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing you know, of course, is that Jesus told us we're not alone. How did the disciples feel when Jesus told them he wasn't going to be with them anymore? They'd walked with him for 3 years. That sense of amazing presence of Christ. It must have been so astonishing to walk alongside him and to learn from him and to think, you know, this is the Son of God come to us. And then suddenly he tells them, well, I think suddenly they realize, although he told them several times, I'm not going to be with you any longer. I'm going to leave you. Even after the resurrection, I'm not going to be with you on this earth. And they must have felt devastated, bereaved, the sense of how on earth will we cope without you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. And what Jesus said to them, of course, was that he was going to send another person, a person who will be alongside them. And that's what the Greek word for spirit, the paraclete, actually means. Someone called, just like Jesus, to be alongside them. And so we, here we are 2,000 years later, are not bereaved, are not bereft, we're not left alone. We too have this person whom Jesus left us to be alongside us each day. So that's the first assurance we need. Jesus said to them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another companion to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Faith and freedom, the Holy Spirit being with us because we have accepted Christ. And then secondly, when the Advocate comes, the same word again, this person alongside us, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. He will tell you things, you will tell others. So not only is he someone alongside us to bring personal comfort to us, but he's going to help us, he's going to feed us, he's going to encourage us, he's going to give us things to learn that we can pass on. And finally, just for the moment, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit can be alongside us with the words of Jesus, warning us and showing us just what it is that is going to happen in our lives, and giving us comfort, giving us strength, giving us all we need as he comes beside us. So they had before the ascension Jesus. Now they've got this new person, this counselor, this helper, this companion, this Holy Spirit. And he's going to be in them. He's going to bear witness. He's going to teach. He's going to guide. And the amazing thing is that here we are 2,000 years later, and Jesus can't be physically like in one place like he was on the roads of Palestine. He can't be in all places. He can only be in one place. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Holy Spirit is there alongside us. And that's what we need to realize, that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is available and present for us just now as he was for them then, so long ago. So going back to Caris and Pentonville Prison and how those prisoners can stand out and resist what's happening in that gang and drug culture, what is it that helps? It's that they've got each other. They've got the body of Christ, even in Pentonville Prison. They've got the Holy Spirit working in their lives. They've got the Alpha Course and other courses. They have the Chapel Fellowship. And they, by gathering together, by learning, by encouraging one another, can, as it were, just guard each other against all the things which are really pushing upon their lives. Now, I'm sure you don't feel it's like that in Chard, do you? You don't feel that you're surrounded by all this all the time like they must be. I don't feel it in Axminster. It feels very quiet, but be careful, because under the surface, there are these things which occasionally will come out. And there will be times when you need to look at something and say, that is not of God. That is something that we need to do something about. And so we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. As followers of Jesus, we don't need to fall into the works of the flesh. We may be refusing to forgive someone. We may be taking part in gossip. We may be taking part in excesses of eating and drinking. There's running people down, loving money too much. When these temptations come, we need the help too of the Holy Spirit to do something about them. Right, okay, so that's the first thing. How do we work in this situation? How do we live in this situation? We live there because the Holy Spirit is alongside us and helping us. But these verses, and we're finally coming to the fruit of the Spirit at last, these verses tell us something a little bit different. The fruit of the Spirit is something positive in the midst of these negatives. And we read that list: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are the qualities that the Holy Spirit can bring in our lives. Now, I looked at that list and I thought, oh, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? It's a bit like motherhood and apple pie. You know, no one could possibly disagree with anything on that list, could it? Could they? But I looked at it and thought to myself, that's fine. But how on earth can they help us live lives which can counteract some of the world around us and live lives for Christ. And so I put those into modern English as well. And they may shock you a little bit when you think about it. How about this for a translation of the fruit of the Spirit for the 21st century? Deliberate acts of goodness. That's a bit easier to think about than love in general, isn't it? Can we think about what the Spirit is doing amongst us? Deep down happiness, essential harmony, staying power, caring about others, generosity, loyalty, gentle strength, personal discipline. These are things that the Holy Spirit can help us do every day. They're not just vague qualities. The New Testament never talks in vague qualities. It talks about real actions, real things. And we can actually live like this in this world because the Holy Spirit is with us. He will change your life. He is the life changer. He is the one who can help you choose to be different from the norm, to keep your joy, the deep down happiness when things are tough, to keep your cool when others are panicking around you, where there are people who are bug you, to care about them as people, not just to put up with it, to be gentle and strong at the same time. I love that word. I've translated it there as staying power, and the one further down as gentle strength. It's the word the Greeks use for a tamed stallion, and it was the idea of strength in gentleness. And that's what we can be like, where you and I can be like in this world, because the Holy Spirit is with us every day. And we can act in this way because he is with us. There's a lovely quotation I found which had to do with the Jesus teaching John 15 about he is the vine and we are the branches. It was a quote from Samuel Hook, a Christian philosopher, and he said this: a vine does not produce grapes by act of parliament. They are the fruit of the vine's own life. So our conduct is the fruit of that divine nature which God gives as the result of what he has done in us, in and by Christ. The Holy Spirit in my life and in yours gives us conduct, gives us fruit, gives us natural things to live out as Christians in a world like this. That's what we have the confidence in today. Think of it. If you're in the vine as a Christian, that's a picture of being a Christian, belonging to Jesus, you will produce fruit unless you refuse to do so. That's the promise of the Scripture. There will be in your life the work of the Spirit producing these fruit unless you don't want it. Do you want to be salt and light in this world? You can do it because the Holy Spirit can do it in you. It's not me who has to work out how to do these things, but him who wants to do it, who gives me the ability and the strength, the wisdom, the power, the inspiration to show these qualities. And he can do it today. Those are things now. So, how do you put it into practice? Well, the question is hearing what he's saying and doing what he's doing, isn't it? When I hear someone running down someone I know, will I speak out to defend them, or will I just keep quiet? If I have a friend or neighbour in need, could I show them appreciation by giving them an unexpected gift? You'll hear about that in a moment. When someone has a go at you about something you haven't done, can you drill down into that Christian joy enough to withstand the onslaught? Can you refuse to react? Can you turn the other cheek because the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. How about if you see someone is in need? Could you start a crowdfunding site or something like it to raise funds for people? Yes, you could. An online petition to seek justice for a persecuted man or woman? Yes, you can. We were discussing in our life group this week about how some of the folks at Work Life were in need because they had to go to Taunton instead of Chard. And Christians did something about it. And that's part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. I worry sometimes that I'm so taken up with church things that I don't see what need there is around me. And we have to really resist that. We have to really look at the world and say, how can we be salt and light? How can we show the fruit of the Spirit? How can we have the greatest impact for Christ? Let me give you one example. And I really felt guilty when I read this again today. It was in this magazine, Share magazine, which comes from Stewardship, which is a Christian giving organization. And I didn't do it this year, the 40 Acts of Love. I did it last year. And this year, for some reason, it just got left aside. And then I read this little story. It was one day in the 48 days of Lent when you were encouraged to give people chocolate. That's a very simple thing, isn't it? You go out with a bar of chocolate and you offer it to someone. And you think, I couldn't do that. Complete stranger. This is what happened when one person did it. On Chocolate Tuesday, I took a bar into my local coffee shop, staffed by a young woman who appeared cool, aloof and disdainful. I gave her the chocolate, explained why I was giving it to her, and then watched her just collapse. She said, sorry, I was going to put the words up for you, you could read it. She said that no one had been kind to her for months, and this was the nicest thing a stranger had ever done for her. Her world was a mass of hurt, disappointment and fear. We talked and talked, hugged, and I gave her a hanky. I don't know if we're friends yet, but we're on our way, and 40 acts was the start. In her life were all those acts of the flesh that we read, or some of them, really hurting her. And one little action of generosity broke into that world. And we as Christians can do that as the Holy Spirit helps us and as we're able to take action. So these fruits of the Spirit, deliberate acts of goodness, deep down happiness, essential, these are things that you and I have got in our lives. Question is, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to use them? Are we going to say no to temptation? Are we going to live in this world in a way in which we show Christ? The Holy Spirit is a life changer for us. We are able to do these things. Now, perhaps there are things this morning that you have felt challenged by, something that you could have done, something there where you need help, where there are influences. Well, we do have a prayer team, as you know, at the end. People who will pray with you, or perhaps someone else in the congregation, or a friend. But don't leave yourself in the mess. Look at the mess and say, God the Holy Spirit, in my life, shows his fruit, displays what he can do, as I turn to him and I look to him. Now look to God and seek his help. Freedom in Christ is more than just enjoying the ride along the way. It's actually acting for Jesus every day. That's the challenge I found in these verses.